Reish Mem Sif Chaf Aleph. So if we the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch really quoting the same thing, but it's really the Beis Yosef itself doesn't even quote the Gemara that it's coming from. So let's start there. So the Gemara, I'll tell you what the Gemara says.
Where's there?
I'm telling you a Gemara. I'm just saying outside before we get into the text. The Gemara tells the following: Tanu Rabbanan b'shas p'tirasan shel Rebbe. When Rebbe was passing away, so he said, "Levana yanitzarach. I want my sons nitnasu vana v'aslo. I want my sons the nitnasu vana v'aslo. Sons kimim. Aralem." He said, "Hisaru b'chod imchem." He said, "Be careful with the honor of your mother. Neri heidalek b'mekomo. Let a lamp burn for me in its usual place." Even after I die, that Rebbe would come back every Friday night, whatever that means, okay? Shulchan yeyarach b'mekomo, the table should be set, and mita tehei mutzas b'mekomo, let the couch be set, and he says a couple of other things as well. So the Gemara asks, he's haru bichodimchem, he says, be careful with the honor of your mother. So the Gemara says, wait a second, doraisahi, wait, that's a din doraisa. What is so important about Rebbe telling them, be careful with your mother? Obviously they be careful with their mother. Dichsiv kavedas avicha v'yas imecha. So the Gemara says, no, it wasn't talking about imecha, rather ishes of have. Rather, the woman he was referring to was their father's wife, meaning not your mother, my wife, who is not technically your stepmother. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, Ishas of Nami Doraisi, that's also within Doraisa. Why? Desanya, as the Braisa says the following, Kavedas Avicha V'yasimecha, Es Avicha Zu Ishas Avicha. What do we learn from the word Es of Avicha? So that teaches your father's wife, V'yasimecha, meaning your mother's husband, Zu Balimecha, and Vav Yisera, Kavedas Avicha V'yasimecha. So what's the Vav? What's the extra Vav? The Rabos Es?
Your older brother.
Achicha Gadol, yes, as one of the very important mitzvahs in the Torah. The Rabbi says Achicha Gadol. So Hani Mita, so the Gemara asks, wait a second, that's a din d'oraisa that you have to honor the mother, your stepmother. So the Gemara answers, well, Hani Mita Michaim. That pasuk, what's linked up from the pasuk is only as so long as the father is alive. But after the father dies, so the son don't necessarily have a relationship with their ex-stepmother anymore. So Rebbe was reminding them, even though you might not necessarily have a specific mitzvah, at least from the text itself, of sound, at least what the Gemara is calling a mitzvah d'oraisa, specifically to honor her, still you should go ahead and honor her anyways. Fine. So that is. So there is a question here, overall, and this is going to deal with the first three sifim that we do, but what did that mean? So that's really a din d'oraisa? It's a din d'oraisa to honor one's parents? A din d'oraisa to honor one's brother? Is that exactly what the text means?
It's the stepmother.
Stepmother, stepfather, and older brother. Mm-hmm. So those are chidushim here. So the Gemara seems to assume that, yeah, that is with regards to the step-parents, yes, but not necessarily with regards to the older brother. Or maybe they are actually the same din. We'll have to see what that means. So let's take a look then on the Shulchan Aruch itself. Take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So Shulchan Aruch itself in Simen Reish Mem Sif Chaf Aleph. So Sif Chaf Aleph says as follows: Chayv Adam. Okay. So Chayiv Adam L'Chavir Eishes Aviv. So one is required, a man is obligated to honor the wife of your father. Afal Pi She'ena Imo, even though she's not your mother, Kol Zman She'aviv Kayim, so long as dad is alive. V'Chayiv L'Chavir Bal Imo. So too, you're obligated to honor the husband of your mother, Kol Zman She'imo Kayim, so long as mom is alive. Aval Achar Misa Eino Chayiv V'Chod Them. But after the death, you're not obligated to honor them anymore. But then he adds in, Mikom Akum Davar Hagun L'Chavdom Afla Achar Misa. Still, it's a Davar Hagun. It's a fitting thing to honor them even after their death. Where did it get that from? So that seems to be what the Gemara is saying, right? The Gemara says that the Braises, the Dindo Rais, is only as long as they're alive. And Rabbi Yehuda told his children, oh, but you should still take care of her anyways. So is that like a special Midas Chasidus that Rebbe was telling to his children that nobody else has to worry about? So the Beis Yosef doesn't take it that way, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch here says as well. That, yeah, but Rebbe was giving instructions for all of us. We should all try to be like Rebbe's children and take care of a step parent, even though one's parent has passed away. But there's no explicit obligation of no explicit obligation of V'es is no longer going to be applicable in those particular cases. Psakim Uchuvus here takes the moment out here to talk about that a similar idea would be applied to adopted parents. If one grows up with adopted parents, so it's, even though the Gemara itself says that somebody who adopts children it's as if they've raised them, still with regards to the mitzvah of Kivud Av V'Em, there's no specific connection of Kivud Av V'Em. Nevertheless, there is a mitzvah to honor them, as he says, based on the mitzvah of Akaras HaTov, based on the idea of gratitude for what they've done for you. Chinuch says in his Shorish of the Mitzvah for Kivud Av V'Em, says that's what the whole Mitzvah of Kivud Av V'Em is based on. That based on Hakaras HaTov for one's parents, and then he goes on and says, and if one can be, we could understand exactly why there should be Hakaras HaTov for one's parents, and then that will also lead us to then have Hakaras HaTov to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So that happens to be the source of the entire Mitzvah, but you can't say that the Halacha doesn't establish a official Halacha connection between adopted parents and adopted children. So you can't say that there is a official mitzvah Kivud Av V'Em, but nevertheless, that idea of kavod is still going to be kavod based on Hakaras HaTov is still going to be applicable. Fine. Okay. So we'll continue here in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So that has to do with step parents. So continues the. By the way, there is a Shechter would often point this out, right? There is no connection, so there is, of course, a questions of Yichud then show up with regards to adopted parents and adopted children. Like, that's a big issue, right? So can a adopted father, not a stepfather, an adopted father, right? Is there an issue with him, with his adopted daughter? So that's a machlokas up to the modern day. So Rav Salvechik would say that, yeah, that he would permit all of those cases. He'd say that if you, not to adopt the child when the child is 15 years old, then you would have a problem. But if the child was adopted when she was a baby, so then they grew up in that way, so we can continue, one does not have to be concerned about Yichud with regards to parents, he said, right? So that was his psak. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe is famously against this. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was famously said that no, that the din of Yichud is still going to apply, and that was his psak. In his letters, etc., it's like a prominent psak from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that adopted parents have no effect on the laws of Yichud, and therefore it would be prohibited to adopt a child unless you could figure out some way around all the laws of Yichud. So Rav Salvechik apparently commented to people that, and where do you think the Lubavitcher Rebbe sends his chassidim that need to adopt children? Right? So he sends them to me, and I give them the psak that it's mutter. So I've never understood what that means. You have to quote, I've heard him say this 10, 15 times, right? This specific story. I never really understood what that meant. I mean, if Lubavitcher Rebbe holds us usher, it should be usher for his chassidim, right? There were, I mean, but this, like.
But some rabbis will check the error, but they don't hold that error.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a different thing. You know, there it's a chum. If a rabbi is going to say, I'm not going to hold of a particular din, l'chumra, as a stringency, but I still hold that it, you know, it could exist for other people. Uh-huh. The impression is that wasn't what the rabbi was saying here. If it was only a chumra, so then shasav chakav di evadami, and you have chassidim that are suffering. Mm-hmm. So okay, so rely on the lenient opinions, right? Why would you have... I never understood that idea of... Go ask him for that psak. I always had trouble with that that idea. Even, I mean, I can't say I haven't used the trick myself for various things. But it's always bothered me that that idea. I never really understood how to deal with it.
You have the same problem with step parents, then, right? Yichud problem.
Correct.
Wouldn't be any difference,
right?
So that's even a bigger problem because. Mm-hmm. You can avoid adopting a child.
Again. Often they come into life later on, yeah.
But, you know,
yeah. I remember I will, like, once telling, giving a share on this and commenting that he knew somebody, that he felt, you know, one could be makel, but he knew a parent that adopted a child, a girl, in this case, and in order so that the father wouldn't make the adopted girl feel bad, he never gave any of his daughters a hug or a kiss. He never touched any of his daughters. And then at the way I really told the story was, and then at the wedding, like his biological daughter, she said, you know, Dad, maybe at this point you give me a kiss before my wedding. And he did. So I remember Bruce leaning over to me and says, you know, you could just as easily see that story go a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, this girl felt neglected and she blamed it on her adopted sister, etc. Right?
Yeah.
Anyways, these are challenging questions. Okay, so anyways, in Sif Chaf Beis, so Chaf Beis then gets into the brother. So Chayiv Adam b'chavod achiv hagadol. So one is obligated to honor your oldest brother based on the same Gemara, right? Bein shehu achiv me'aviv, bein shehu achiv me'ima. Whether he is your brother via your father, or whether he is your brother via your mother. And then he says v'afilu akatan hu talmud chacham agadol b'torah yos min agadol. Even if the katan is the talmud chacham and greater than the older brother, fine. Good. Okay, so that's enough for Sif Chaf Beis. So this whole issue is actually the subject Rabbi Daniel Feld, Sefer Bina Besar, Volume 1, has an entire chapter on the mitzvah of Kivud Ach Gadol. But he really points out many of these questions. I mean, well, what are some of the questions that you have with this? Who does this apply to? Is this applied to any older sibling, or is it just the Bechor? So the Shulchan Aruch uses the terminology of Achiv HaGadol, the HaGadol, the oldest, right? Would it apply to sisters, right? Would it apply, what exactly is the nature of this din? So all of these questions he kind of boils down to in Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, but how to understand the source, the nature of this halacha, right? What is this idea, right? That it says you have to honor your older brothers. What can I say? So number one is, well, bechoris get a lot of good stuff, right? The bechoris get pishnaim, bechoris get a double inheritance. Bechoris get invited to breakfast on Erev Pesach. I'm not sure what else. But bechoris get some neat things, right? So he gets this also, that he gets to be honored by Shlomi. That's just din specifically in the idea that he's a bechor and the other ones aren't. So that's one possibility. I mean, this is just something a bechor gets based on this pasuk in Kivud Av Es Chavicha V'Yasimecha.
Let's say there are three brothers,
right?
So the way you're interpreting it, I would only have to know the youngest. I would only
it's
have
a bechor. Right.
So then,
right. A person has to be nice to people. But but beyond in terms of a specific mitzvah of kaveda savicha v'esimecha, right? That's a din in the bechor. Right. The bechor gets pishnayim, and the bechor gets has to fast on Erev Pesach, and he gets pidyon haben, and he gets an extra party, an extra presents when he's born, and he also gets to be honored by his younger siblings.
Says,
oh, okay. So, but you say ha, the, right? That's one read, right? It could be that Mechavi here is being ambiguous. The Beis Yosef did not quote this machlokas, I don't believe. No. Right, he did not quote this machlokas. The other side of this is the Ramban. The Ramban says that this is all a chilek of honoring one's parents. I mean, one thing that parents want, parents don't just want themselves to be honored, they want their children to get along. Right? It's a dream that all parents have, that one day their children will get along. So what is a way of ensuring that? So one way of ensuring that is if there is a hierarchy of who's got to take care of who. Who's got to bring drinks for who. So if we could establish what that hierarchy is, so it will make everything a lot more peaceful within the home. So that being the case, then the suggestion might be, oh, so then it's just going to, whoever's oldest gets stuff, and if you're and the younger ones have to provide for the older ones, regardless of whether they're the oldest, and regardless of whether they're male, right? That this is an independent halacha. So the way to understand it, this idea is that, so now you have a big difference. So according to the Rambam, the mitzvah is directly between the younger brother and the Bechor, right? That is the way the mitzvah is set up. According to the Ramban, no, it's all a chilek of kibud av. It's all about honoring one's parents, right? And this is just a way of setting up in order to ensure that the children are able to do what their parents want, and that is to get along. So he then spells out several nafkaminas as to how, based on how you would understand between the Ramban and the Rambam. And again, you look back at the words of Shulchan Aruch, it's a little ambiguous how to understand that, right? It doesn't say Bechor, but yet it says the, right? So he points out that there would be many nafkaminas to this question. So number one, anybody think of it? What would be a nafkamina to this? So one would be
not the oldest, but
right. So one we said, right? If it's not the oldest, that, right? It would apply to sisters. Yeah. Any other ones?
Well,
So one suggestion he has is if the parents are dead. Right, if the parents are no longer alive, is there still the mitzvah of Kibud Av Vaim? According to the, of honoring Kibud Ach Gadol, according to the Rambam, yeah, right. That's just the things that the older brother gets. And according to the Ramban, it's no, right. It's all chelik of Kibud Av Vaim. Another thing he points out is the idea of mechila. Who has the right to be mochel this din? Right, so once again, according to the Rambam, it's the older brother has the right to be mochel his younger siblings, and according to the Ramban, nope, it's all about the parents, right? Yeah. So the parents would be the ones to then establish that that mechila. Another thing he has points out here would be is that what is the nature of the kavod that is required here. So if you assume it's like the Rambam, so then it's a chelik, it's the same thing as honoring one's parents. You honor your father, your mother, and the bechor, right? And whatever, however you define the mitzvah of Kibud Av Vaim, in terms of getting them drinks and getting them food and getting them, and helping them out and all those kinds of things. So same thing would apply to the older brother. It's a little hard to imagine. But yeah, the same thing would apply to the older brother, minus a little bit, because the older brother has an obligation towards the parents. I remember we had that with the father and the mother, if they both ask you for the same time, so you listen to the father before the mother, which the mother has an obligation towards the father as well, right? So that would be the small off. But really, you would be required the same way. Well, according to the Ramban, no, it just means honor your brother enough so that your parents are happy, right? It's not really about honoring the older brother so much as it's making sure one's parents are happy. So that is set up as the big machlokas Rambam and Ramban with regards to this halacha. Things get a little bit more interesting as well, where the Rambam says that this is a din midivrei sofrim. So this is one of the big questions as to what the Rambam means when he qualifies a halacha as being midivrei sofrim. I mean, especially in this context where the Gemara calls it a din d'oraisa, right? So the Gemara calls it a din d'oraisa, the Rambam calls it midivrei sofrim. So what does that mean? So the Torah Tamima says that is a din d'oraisa. That's how you understand it. The Minchas Chinuch says it's a din d'oraisa, it's eino mefurish b'kra. So what does that mean? Is it d'oraisa or is it not d'oraisa? It's a d'oraisa, she'eino mefurish b'kra. I mean, we see this somewhat, we see it in the Gemara somewhat regularly, right? That it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs, but it's learned out from a pasuk. It's learned out from an esmach. It's based on a pasuk. So how do we understand that in terms of the rules of d'oraisa versus d'rabbanan? And then you have the Aruch HaShulchan saying, no, it's really a din d'rabbanan, and it's only an esmach. It's only an esmach. But anyways, that is the question to talk about. If you'd like to find it in Kinevus Farim, you can take a look at on your own as well. Okay, so that is Sif Chaf Beis. Sif Chaf Gimel then makes an interesting comment. Says Ach Gadol Shechirif Ubiza L'Achiv, that if you have an older brother that is Mevaza his brother, this is based on Shua Sarash, Shehu Tamar Chacham, right? V'katan Mimenu B'shanim the Finida hakatan legadol yafa asa. Right, so the younger brother is a talmid chacham. The older brother is making fun of the younger brother. He's being mvaza. The younger brother is a talmid chacham. Right, you have like Esav and Yaakov. Right, so Esav is mocking Yaakov. So the younger brother puts the older brother in chirum. He did the right thing. Right, yafa asa shenaduhu. Why the chivin she'ino nosa panim l'torah, eino osa maisa amcha ve'ino chayv l'chvoda. Because he's she'enu nosi, because he's not turning his face to Torah, because he's not honoring the Torah, he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, and therefore the younger brother is not obligated to honor him. So that's an interesting thing, except we don't have the same halacha when it comes to one's parents. Right? We didn't say the same thing, like we didn't say the son should put the parent in nidui. Right? Here it's saying, no, the son did a good thing by putting the older brother in nidui. So that perhaps is indicating more of a Ramban stance than a Rambam stance is thinking, right? Plus the Ramban would say that it's about honoring the parent. But in this case, the child, by putting the older brother in nidui, is honoring the parents. Unless the parents don't want it to be that way. But anyways, the assumption is that that's what the parents would want. Right, so therefore, he's doing the right thing. Right, if you would say that that an older brother has the same halacha of Kibud Av Vaim as honoring one's parents, then you're stuck with okay. Well, then why is there? Why would there be a distinction in terms of how to take care of the older sibling that's been either? Okay, doing well so far. All right, Sif Chaf Dalad Chayv Adam L'Chaved Chamav. One is obligated to honor one's in-laws. All good, right? All good. The Nosi Kilim add in, the Taz adds in, don't just think it's talking about your father-in-law. Nope, it's talking about your mother-in-law too. Regarding Yalev to Esavich, the Rabbis, H. Zavich, I'm sorry, you test the Chavicham, to Chsiv Avi, Re'e, Gam Re'e, Vidavid, Amr, Lashal, Kain, Shahayacham, Vakar, Avi, Chamosi, Chamosi, Vachin, Kasab, Sefer, Tzedil, Derech, etc. He actually, he makes sure, the Taz makes sure to quote the Bach in this, in his comment on this halacha, right? The Bach was his father-in-law, so he makes sure. Make sure to stick that in. But the Pesukei Teshuva points out that it's not just applying to the father-in-law, but it's also applying to the mother-in-law as well. Yeah, okay. So then, the Ramah then adds, and something that's interesting, Yesh Omrim de'ein adam chayiv chavod avi aviv, that a person is not obligated to honor your father's father. And what's he basing that on? That's based on a Maharik. So that Maharik is quoted here in the Darkei Moshe. And he gets upset with it as well. But maybe we can take a look there. Take a look. Come quickly to the front of the book, right to the Darkei Moshe. From I don't know what page it is for you. Oh, it has the same page numbers. Yes, the Tav Kuf Tzadi Aleph. That's page 591. Yeah, so the very top of the left column of the Darkei Moshe, what? No, we can't have different same books. Oh man! So first of all, that question that I just asked about why is the father different? A father who's not doing the right thing different than a brother who's not doing the right thing? It's not my question. That's actually asked in the beginning of the Darkei Moshe. He asks that question. But then we'll pick up here. So the bottom word of the right column going on to the top of the left column. So the chasav maharik shorish memdal the ben haben einu chayv ka b'chavud zakin. Right, that the grants the maharik says a grandson is not obligated in the honor of his grandfather shu avi aviv ad kan l'shono. V'ksas lo mashmakes. First of all, we have a problem. It seems to be against the medrash. Right, ve'vesi Rashi v'perish chumish v'parshas v'yigash. And this comes up. Rashi quotes this in his commentary on Chumash Parshas Vayigash, where what does it say there? Gabev Yizbach Zvachim Lokei Aviv Yitzchak. That it comments there that Yaakov, before going down to Mitzrayim, offered karbanos to the God of his father Yitzchak. And Rashi comments it, the Perish Rashi, the Chayv Adam Bechavod Aviv Yosher Michavod Avi Aviv. Why does he only say the father of Yitzchak? Because Yaakov was obligated to honor his father more than he was required to honor his grandfather. Now, in the pasuk about Malach HaGoel Osi, it mentions.
Yeah, a lot of times he does mention
it. Right, he does mention it. But anyways, Rashi takes the time to point that Michlal, the Michom Makom, Chayv Bechavodah. And what do you see? That he's obligated to honor them. Now, it's not just the Machlokas Rashi. And Maharik, Rashi and his Pirush on Chumash and the Maharik, Rashi's really quoting him from a Medrash, right? The Medrash itself says that. So why is the Maharik going against the Medrash? I don't recall seeing any defense of the Maharik that's actually his psak. I think the Maharik, some try to say the Maharik didn't actually mean that, but that the Maharik, to actually say that there's no mitzvah to honor one's grandparents, it's a little difficult to hold that. Pesach Mishuvah doesn't quote anybody that I saw that really supports him. I did give a entire shiur on this honoring grandparents in First Seder at Parshas Vayigash. Maybe Alan was there, or maybe not. But it is available on YU Torah. I didn't listen to it, and I don't remember if I had a defense of the Maharik or not. Don't remember. Anyways, so that is the source for this. Okay, so back to the Ramah himself. So Ramah says Yishom that are those that say he quotes from the Maharik back in the Ramah himself. Chaf Dalet, the Ein Adam Chay B'Chavod Avi Aviv. The Ein Onirli says I don't understand it. El the Chay B'Chavod Aviv Yoser Michavod Avi Aviv. The only thing that I do understand is that one is obligated to honor one's father more than he is obligated to honor his father's father. So that then gets a little bit complicated. how far do you take that? I mean, one is obligated to honor one's father more than one's father's father. That's true, except you do find yourself then in the situation of if your father and your father's father both ask you for water at the same time, who should you give the water to? Right? So on one hand, I want to say, well, you have to honor your father more than your father's father, but then your father has an obligation to honor his father, so maybe he should tell you to do that. On the other hand, it's his mitzvah, it's not your mitzvah. Right? And the other thing is that Gemara, it says that it, with the father and the mother, well, your father and mother are of equal statuses, and that tips the balance. But here, it's not an equal status. It's your father and your grandfather. So you end up with a bit of a question there. And the Pesach Mechuvas quotes this as a machlokas, I believe.
Your father, and he can give it to you.
Right, you can do that as well.
You have another cup
for
your father.
Where'd it go?
Your father should have the opportunity. You should not give it even without necessarily getting it from
him. Yeah, but
that's on you, good.
What?
Should he be asking you?
It's only when your father doesn't have any connection to your to the grandfather, right? Could go in la'achar misa, first of all, if maybe your father died. After the death of both of them, your father and your grandfather, so then your father's memory would take precedence over your grandfather's. Where the father does have responsibility towards the grandfather, for example, they both need something, so then maybe you would go to the grandfather first. However, there's some disagree. It's only when the father and mother have the same status, but here they don't have the same status. Fine. How do you avoid this problem? A person should say to their child, honor your grandfather first. If he didn't say it, the son knows that the father wants that, then he should honor grandpa before he honors dad. Fine. So then finally we get to Chafei here. Chafei gets to perhaps the most famous halacha in Hilchos Kibud Avim. Ima'av rotzel l'sharis es haben. If the father wants to do some, serve the son, it's mutter l'kabli men. The son can accept it. Elim kein ha'av ben Torah. Unless the father is ben Torah, Talmud shirotza leches lemakum, period. Okay, unless the father's ben Torah, then the son shouldn't accept it. Now, this Pesachim Shuva kind of scratches his head, tries to figure out how this works, and at what point does that work? So the father can't drive the son to yeshiva if the father's a Talmud Chacham? Like how does that...
Ben Torah, does that mean a Talmud Chacham? That's a funny
thing. Im kena av ben Torah, that's...
I mean, today ben Torah just means someone...
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean he's just...
I thought Ben Torah meant...
I don't know.
Even today, I thought it means more than that, but... I'm not sure how to deal with that. Then. But then the second halacha here is Talmud shirotz lelechas l'makom acher. If he wants to go someplace else, u'buteach shiyira simen bracha b'talmida, where he believes that he will see a bracha from his learning lifnei harav shisham, in front of the father the rebbe that's there. Va'avim mochavo, and the father protests l'vishin doeg shavosa yira obdeku chavim alilim, because over there he's concerned it's dangerous over there. So the son doesn't have to listen to dad with regards to this. So this every child, right? Every son wants to go shana a second year in Israel, right? So they all quote this din. Now, one thing to point out is that the father doesn't have to pay. Right, there's no din that the father has to pay for the son to go wherever he wants. Right? I believe there is a story with Rishmuel like this. I believe Rav Shmuel was learning in Neri Yisrael, and he wanted to go learn in Lakewood, and Rav Yaakov did not want him to go. And I think some story there, Rav Shmuel called him from a payphone on the New Jersey Turnpike or something to tell him that he decided that he's actually going, and like his father said, I'm not paying. some halacha, if you ever find yourself in a car with Rav Shmuel, you can ask him for what exactly that story was, and I'm sure he'd be happy to share it with you.
Wouldn't have it been.
What?
Wouldn't have
it been. you could say, well, you could say it is, you know, my son wants to learn someplace and I'm not so thrilled with it. What do you think? And then find out what he says, I'm sure. The story will come out then.
It's about the best lead you can think of for something.
Yeah. Okay. So the Pischei Tshuvos here at the bottom, Sif Chafez, so he jumps in here and says, Kasa B'Sefer Chamudei Daniel. Chamudei Daniel is written in Sefer. He's quoted all over the Pischei Tshuvos, the Pischei Tshuva, but I don't think we have a full edition of the Chamudei Daniel. I believe he's like a Pischei Tshuva Sefer, and we lost it. There's some, in Hilchos Mezuzah, he shows up. There's some important halachas from the Chamudei Daniel. I don't believe we have a full Sefer of him. I think there is a Sefer called Chamudei Daniel today that someone collected all the things that are in the Pischei Tshuvos and put it together. I don't think we have the official copy. But anyways, he says, near Huadin Afilu Safik Lo. Meaning, the son doesn't have to be sure he's going to learn better there. He just thinks he's going to learn better there. That's already enough. The Chasiv Od Echad. But Chassid also writes, "Echad hayarotzel hispal beveis haknesses shemispalim sham yosef bechavana." Let's say he wants to daven in a specific shul. The ima mocha bezen. The mother protests. Now I don't know why here the mother is protesting and not the father. I'm not sure what happened there. But the mother protests. Sarach lishmol ain't sarach lishmola. He doesn't have to listen to her. So here the Pesachim, here in the Pesachim Uchuvos comments on that Pischei Tshuva and says, you got to be very careful with that, because even though you might be technically right that you should daven wherever you think you daven better, he has a good term here that I liked. He says, maybe it's a Rabbi Pieberfeld safer. He says you have to be very careful lest the kategor becomes the sanigor or something, that your davening then gets held against you. You got to be very careful before invoking this din. So the Ramah then goes ahead and comments, "V'chein ima av mocha beven lisa ezo isha shiachputz b'haben." And also, if the father protests about the son marrying a specific woman that the son wants to, ain't sarach lishmo elav av. The son doesn't have to listen to dad. Presumably, right, for the same reason. So the son doesn't have to listen for those reasons. So why not? So this halacha often gets then quoted, as he points out here, often gets quoted for a lot of halachas. You see, you don't have to listen to one's parents unless it has to do specifically with them. So he points out here that there's, if you look in the Maharik, I didn't look in the Maharik either, but the Maharik, where this is being quoted from, right, you see the Ramah at the end there quotes this from the Maharik, he says there's three, the Maharik actually quotes three reasons why this would be. Number one is, Sheina ben Chayav Lispot Sarhaguf, that the son doesn't have to suffer physical pain because of the father, meaning you don't have to physically do anything, right? Because honoring his parents comes from the father, not from the son, right? The son doesn't have to pay, so the son doesn't have to impose things upon himself. Two, Shuhukim Tavuhu Lavra de Retor. This is like the father telling the son to violate the Torah, because the Torah tells the son that he should marry a woman that he wants to marry, right? And the father is telling him to violate that. And number three is Kimet Shuhu Davar Shalosh Shaykh Lav. That's something that's not Shaykh to the father. Now that often is the reason that gets quoted the most.
No, sure, I mean,
it's not connected to the father, meaning that what does it matter to the father who the son marries? Right. So on that note, well, Rabbi Bierfeld quotes from the Mishnah Dvarim, and he point out that if it does matter to the father, if there's a specific reason that the father would get very upset, so then the father would have the right to protest, the son would actually have to listen, meaning if it would actually would put a stain on the father. So Rosh Hashanah is sincere. I think his example was, let's say the father's a Litvak and the son wants to marry a Galiziana. Ay, Gewalt, what's going to be? So in that case, if it's going to impose a stain, so then then the father might actually be able to protest and would actually be able to hold against him. But in general, so I remember Rabbi Beanstock, Max's son, Micah, right, who gave a shiur on this a couple of years ago, right, his shiloh was, right, with a son who wanted to exercise, go running, and the mother told him that it was during the war in Gaza, and that she heard that there might be missiles that might come to Yerushalayim, and she told the son that he's not allowed to exercise. So does the son have to listen to the mother and not exercise? Because what she doesn't know doesn't hurt her, and there's no reason that he would have to listen to her. So he does say that there is something to honoring.
Wait, 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 wait.
he doesn't have to. So he's notified, or in that case, he's notified her that he's going to go running.
No, he did not know. There's a boy in the mirror. This isn't like a 12-year-old. There's a boy in the mirror yeshiva, right? And the mother says, you know, I don't want you running because I heard that it might be a missile that might come through Yerushalayim. So did he have to listen to her? Right? Is there a mitzvah? Does honoring one's parents include listening to them? Mm-hmm. So here in the Psakim Mitzvos, he quotes lines of sources that say, well, yes, that there is an idea of kivud av'im that a parent knows that they were listened to. That's something that a parent appreciates, knowing that they were listened to. So that is that there's an aspect of kivud av'im there, but nevertheless, if it would be something that would be causing a strong imposition on the child, and the parent's not going to find out about it anyways, so then there is reasons to be makil, but you know, with normal disclaimers of make sure you consult your local Orthodox rabbi before you go and not listen to one's parents. Okay, and all right. Okay, so that's probably enough for Simon.
Yeah.
Reish Mem. Move on. So Reish Mem Aleph is the halachos of hitting one's children. So we'll probably go through that a little bit quicker, and then we get into Hilchos Kavod Rabbah and Tavli Chacham. All right.
Let's get into the book of the story of Shimshon.